Good morning, everybody. If you could turn with me to Matthew chapter 21. Okay, Matthew 21. When they had approached Jerusalem and had come to the Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied there and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If one says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord has need of them,' and immediately he will send them." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, Gentile and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." The disciples went and did just as Jesus had instructed them, and brought the donkey and the colt and laid their coats on them. And he sat on the coats. Most of the crowd spread their coats in the road, and others were cutting branches from the trees and spreading them in the road. The crowds going ahead of him, and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." When he had entered Jerusalem, all the city was stirred, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowd were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." And Jesus entered the temple and drove out all those who were buying and selling in the temple, and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who were selling doves. And he said to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer,' but you are making it a robber's den." And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he had done, and the children who were shouting in the temple, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they became indignant and said to him, "Do you hear what these children are saying?" And Jesus said to them, "Yes. Have you never read? Out of the mouth of infants and nursing babes, you have prepared praise for yourself." And he left them and went out of the city to Bethany and spent the night there. Now in the morning, when he was returning to the city, he became hungry. Seeing a lone fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it except leaves only. And he said to it, "No longer shall there ever be any fruit from you." And at once the fig tree withered. Seeing this, the disciples were amazed and asked, "How did the fig tree wither all at once?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, 'Be taken up and cast into the sea,' it will happen. And all things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive." When he entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him while he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?" Jesus said to them, "I will also ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John was from what source? From heaven or from men?" And they began reasoning among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Then why did you not believe him?' But if we say from men, we fear the people, for they all regard John as a prophet." And answering Jesus, they said, "We do not know." He also said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. But what do you think? A man has two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in the vineyard.' And he answered, 'I will not.' But afterwards, he regretted it and went. The men came to the second and said the same thing. And he answered, 'I will, sir. But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you that the tax collectors and prostitutes will get into the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and prostitutes did believe him. And you, seeing this, did not even feel remorse afterwards so as to believe him." Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard and put a wall around it and dug a wine press in it and built a tower and rented it out to the vine growers and went on a journey. When the harvest time approached, he sent his slaves to the vine growers to receive his produce. The vine growers took his slaves and beat one and killed another and stoned a third. Again, he sent another group of slaves larger than the first, and they did the same thing to them. But afterwards, he sent his son to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But when the vine growers saw the son, they said among themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and seize in his inheritance." They took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those vine growers? They said to him, "He will bring those wretches to a wretched end and will rent out the vineyard to the other vine growers who will pay him the proceeds at the proper seasons." Jesus said to them, "Did you never read in the scripture, 'The stone which the builder rejected, this became the chief cornerstone. This came about from the Lord, and it is marvelous in our eyes.' Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing the fruit of it. And he who falls on the stone will be broken to pieces, but on whomever falls, it will scatter him like dust." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they understood that he was speaking about them. When they sought to seize him, they feared the people because they considered him to be a prophet. Oh, long chapter. Let's pray. Father, Lord, thank you for this day. You have gathered us, Lord. We want to seek your face and learn more about you. Holy Spirit, would you come and help us to understand and reveal the secrets to us, especially in this chapter. There's just so much, Lord, to take away. And yes, Lord, just open our minds and our hearts to receive yours as well. We thank you, and we pray all this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So prior to this chapter, you know, Jesus had been teaching his disciples, you know, last shall be first, first shall be last. And also sharing and prophesying over what was to come. Namely, he was to be delivered, he was to be crucified, he was going to be resurrected. Sharing with the disciples, but of course the disciples didn't really understand what was going on and just taking everything at face value of what was currently happening. So at this point, Jesus returns to Jerusalem, and this is known as his triumphant entry. And you would think, because he knows what's going to happen, right? He's already shared with the disciples multiple times of what's to come. He knows the Pharisees are trying to get him. And you would think if you were to enter the place where you knew your life was to end and you're in danger, you would go about it very quietly, right? You would probably not make a noise. You'd find a way to sneak in, right? Maybe go through a less, more subtle entry. I don't know. Go through the sewers. I don't know. But instead, Jesus does not do that. He comes in the biggest way possible, right? And he asks his disciples to get him a colt and a donkey. And this, he does this intentionally to fulfill prophecy in the prophecies from Zechariah 9. And as he enters, the multitudes, the crowds, they see him. They know him as the Messiah. And they take their clothes, they cut off palm trees, and they lay it on the ground as a sign of respect. And they cry out, Hosanna. Hosanna. And so Hosanna means save now, basically. Save now. And originally this Hebrew expression, Hosanna, was an expression for help. Right, so when you're in trouble, you would say this. But over time, this expression became an expression of worship, because the people would often yell this out to also kings, and they would yell that out like "Save us, save us!" And then over time, it became an expression for worship. And as they yelled this out, "Hosanna, save us!" to Jesus. This is an indication that they acknowledge him as the Messiah. So that's why they say, Hosanna, Hosanna. And even though it seems really, you know, special that these people, these multitudes who know and acknowledge that he's the Messiah and they're you know, worshiping him, but of course we know not so long later they will condemn him as well, right? So so all to say, not too much credit goes to these masses. And at verse 12, Jesus approaches the temple. And he's really upset. Not just the sellers, but also the buyers, right? Because he says he cleared out all the sellers and the buyers. And all to say, both were held accountable. And the reason he was so upset was because these people who were selling things, this was outside. This is where really the Gentiles would be, where they could possibly come and pray and worship. And at that time, it was a place of commerce, and which was normal as well. However, the way that it was going about was very, there's a lot of, what's the word? Oh man, what's the word when it was very corrupt? There we go. Oh, sorry. It was very corrupt. And what was happening was they were selling things that normally cost, say doves, because they mentioned the doves here. Doves, which would be used for sacrifice. And normally they were sold for $5, for example. That would be like the market price. But because these were official sacrificial items, I read like it was being sold for up to 20 times more. So it's $100, $100. So this was happening. And we know this also happens later, much, much later. I mean, like before the Reformation, right? And the Catholic Church was also selling these things called indulgences, where they were selling pieces of paper. And if you bought this piece of paper, then you would be, you know, forgiven of your sins, right? Which totally goes against the premise of grace, right? Where we don't earn our salvation, but according to this piece of paper, if you buy it, you've earned salvation. And thus, that was when Martin Luther, created the Reformation, right? So anyway, that's a little bit of a tangent, but all to say, Jesus was doing that, and then he cleared out this area. And as a result, the poor came and the lame came and they approached, which kind of shows that before that, like, they did not feel invited. They did not feel like they could come. And as a result, Jesus healed them. And I think we can let the Holy Spirit speak to you in the sense, the reason Jesus was so upset, of course there was corruption, but the intent of the church, this area, was a place of worship, right? So the point was, it was a place of worship, a place of prayer, but that was not what was being used. And as we come to church, what is going on in our heart? What is our intent as we come? Is it really a place to pray, to worship? And of course, I'm speaking to everyone who's at morning prayer, so obviously this is not of issue. But I think I'm referencing more Sunday, right? Because oftentimes, even right now, Sunday, we struggle a little bit at times, and we try to, of course, extend grace. But sometimes we get a little upset too, you know, because people come and it seems like they're not really here with the intent to pray and worship. They come and, you know, they're eating their food during the time, the worship service, or they're just chatting, and which is all we understand, but we just want to keep this time just as Jesus did, keep the time of Sunday service, you know, holy, right? And keep it holy by keeping it as a place for prayer and worship. And And of course, as Jesus does this, the Pharisees, they see that what Jesus does. And obviously what they recognize, what he does is not a bad thing. It's a good thing because they're filled with corruption. But their response is of indignation, right? They're actually upset that Jesus did this. And so they challenge him. And they're like, oh, do you hear what these children are saying? Because even the children acknowledge. They're saying, oh, Hosanna, Hosanna, son of David. And Jesus responds to them. He says, yes, have you never read? And so it's already a diss because he's saying, don't you guys read the Bible? Don't you even read the Bible? So at this point, he's really challenging them. He says, out of the mouth of infants and nursing babes, you have prepared praise for yourself. And he's referencing to prophecy. And then he left. And then he approaches a fig tree. And a miracle happens. He sees a fig tree. And he's hungry. So he goes to the fig tree wanting some fruit. But he notices there's no fruit on this fig tree. So he touches the tree and the tree withers. Which seems like a very different type of miracle that Jesus has been doing. Usually Jesus, when he does a miracle, it brings restoration, right? You would almost think, why didn't Jesus touch this tree and then suddenly figs would appear, right? But instead, he touches it, and the tree withers. So these are one of the two you could call destructive miracles that Jesus kind of enacts. The first one being the one with the pigs, right? The herd of pigs, and he sends them off the cliff, kills all the pigs, and this would and this would be the second. And he uses this situation, not so much as a parable, but I guess as more of an illustration to compare it to, I guess, Pharisees. And what he's saying is, hey, on the outside, this fig tree, on the outside, it looks like a fig tree, right? It's clothed in leaves. So if we parallel that to the Pharisees, hey, on the Pharisees, on the outside, you look really holy, right? You're dressed the part, you look the part, but as he addresses the fig tree, but there's no fruit on the fig tree. And he says to he's illustrating, you look the part, you sound the part, you speak the part, but you have no fruit. You have no fruit. And as a result, he will take away the fruit, right? And in this case, he touches the tree, it withers. And then he says, no longer shall there ever be any fruit from you. And in some ways, he's addressing also the Pharisees as well. And then seeing this, the disciples, of course, were amazed. They're like, oh, wow, a miracle. And Jesus says to them, similar to that, the reference to the mustard seed, he says, truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, it will happen. And all things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. All things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. And we have, this is like a GIC verse as well. Until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Asking you will receive, and your joy will be complete. And here it says, all things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. And of course, if you take the prosperity gospel too much, take it too extreme, you say, okay, so I just name it and claim it, right? Whatever I want, Ferrari, iPhone 7, 8, 9, whatever, if I want it and I ask for it, no, that's not exactly the case because, again, it's not about us, it's about God. And how this is fulfilled is actually just done through intimacy. It's through relationship, right? And my best way where I can say, well, they're like, well, how does that work? How is it that if I'm in relationship with God, then everything I ask, I will receive. Well, just as in earthly relationships, if you are very close and intimate to someone, you would know, right? Just as husband and wife. You don't need to ask if, well, if you're, as long as you're close, intimate, you don't need to ask them, like, honey, I asked my wife, I don't need to ask, hey, what would you want for dinner tonight? Where do you want to go out? I know, right? Because I know her so well. I probably know better than she does what she wants to eat. Because usually I ask her, she says, I don't know, and I got a list. But all to say, through that intimacy, I know what she wants to eat, right? And even, and this is probably where a lot of us experience this, especially husbands, is we already know before we ask what the answer will be with the wife, especially with regards to like, hey, do you think I can do this? Can I do that? And that's what it looks like when we're intimate with God, right? We know his heart and we know exactly what is on his heart. Even before we ask to a certain extent, if we have intimate relationship, we would already know the answer. But of course, we have. It's not just that, but God will speak to us as well and share his heart. And when this happens, then it's true. All things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. So the key to this is just intimacy. So I'd like to invite, are you doing worship? We'll stop here. I wanted to go through the whole thing, but Ashley always yells at me. So as, Samuel leads us, we can focus on just two things, really. I mean, first is we can look at the Jesus's illustration when he talks about the fig tree. And the fig tree looks good, but it's not bearing any fruit. It looks like a tree, but it's not bearing any fruit. Question for all of us is, are we bearing any fruit? We look like Christians. We sound like Christians. We go to church like a Christian. And you might come to morning prayer. And everything looks good, but are you bearing any fruit? Are you bearing any fruit? And if the answer is yes, then praise God. praise Holy Spirit for leading you and guiding you. But if you feel like you can honestly come and say you're not, then I submit to you, perhaps, there is an intimacy issue that's happening. Because you're striving, you're working, but there's no fruit. But to really bear that fruit, there needs to be intimacy where you're abiding in the Father, in God, the Holy Spirit. And when that happens, then you can bear this fruit of the Spirit. God, we just as the song, the lyrics, that you would just want us to be humble like a child, to have childlike heart, that we can just be vulnerable and able to approach you. And that we can just be real with you. God, just continue to restore our brokenness and our hearts. Help us to acknowledge if we are not bearing fruit, or if we're just putting on an act. Lord, reveal to us and transform us, that we could just be real, Lord, because you have accepted us as your sons and daughters, accepted us at the price of even offering us your son. And Holy Spirit, would you just continue to teach us and guide us and reveal more to us. We acknowledge your presence in us, and we do not want to grieve nor quench your spirit. We thank you for all this. In Jesus' name, pray. Amen. Let's turn to our slides. Let's cover our church, our friends, our family. Let's cover those who are going through cancer right now, as well as going through chemo and radiation therapy. Let's cover those who are sick, but also are in need of salvation. Let's pray for opportunities for receiving heart. Let's cover those with infirmities. Let's pray for healing and restoration. Pray for those who are seeking jobs, for God's provision, for God's direction. So to our Thursday prayers, let's start with our mission focus. Let's cover Singapore, SPSG, and Pastor Sam, Kim, and Annie. Indonesia and SPIN, that's Pastor Salma and Mimi. And let's also cover SP Seoul, our church plant with Eunsung and Janice. Cover our prayer and healing ministries, IP Well Cascade. Let's cover our education ministries, Noah's Ark, SP Youth, and SPU. Let's pray for the teachers that they would have a vision for what they want to do with the students and for the students to really come and encounter God. Pray for our Thursday outreaches, SP Lights and Homey Outreach. Let's pray for both outreach teams that they would be so filled with the Holy Spirit and overflowing with the love of God. Let's cover the house churches today. Let's cover Elements House Church and Olympic. And I think for most of the house church, they're celebrating Thanksgiving this week. So let's pray that it'll be a joyful time of celebration of food and fellowship, but also that they would really embrace the spirit of Thanksgiving, where they would come together to show gratitude and acknowledge how God is so faithful and the way that God is working in everyone's lives. Jesus, you are our Savior, our Messiah. You've come and saved us, and you've set us free, free from just the pressures and the bondage of this world, and allowed us to allowed us just to be sons and daughters. That identity as your children would be what defines us, God. We just thank you. Just continue to be with us, that we would be able to really sense and walk with you in your presence. I pray for that you would help us to see how you're moving and sense what you're feeling, and that we would be guided and operate out of love and wisdom, Lord. We thank you. We pray all this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please continue to spend your time with God and have a great day.